From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Adeline Baxter with this look at local and statewide news. Tucked among Governor Mike Dunleavy's 182 vetoes is a line that deletes most of state funding for Alaska's Civil Air Patrol. Southeast Squadron Commander Lisa Marks says the $250,000 cut by the governor is needed to pay basic utilities like electricity, heat, and internet. Without that support, the Juneau-based volunteer unit won't be able to stay active for long.
Because if I can't keep my pilots and my other air crew current in their mission training, then in the event of a real emergency, I'm not going to have anyone that I can put in the air or that I can send out on a ground crew, because no one's going to have the training that they need and the qualifications that they need.
Many of the Alaska Wing's 17 units lease heated hangar space. Wing Commander Timothy Hahn says the governor's veto would make that unaffordable.
Everything's going to have to be turned off. That may mean that we're going to have to move some aircraft out onto tarmacs instead of being able to keep them in hangars where they are, you know, fully prepared for search and rescue, to where they may be iced over or buried in snow.
The Civil Air Patrol is the civilian auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force. It maintains a fleet of 16 federally owned small planes scattered around the state, primarily used for search and rescue. It also runs a cadet program for Alaskans aged 12 to 18 to train as pilots and search and rescue teams. Unless overridden by the 3/4 of the legislature, the Civil Air Patrol officers say Governor Dunleavy's veto would jeopardize the future of these programs. And Governor Dunleavy also cut funding to the University of Alaska system by $130 million when he vetoed the state budget last week. At first glance, it might look like the campuses of the University of Alaska Southeast have been spared, but that's not the case. Distance learning, which has become a cornerstone of Alaska's university system, is one of many resources that will be threatened if the governor's cut goes through. KCAW's Nina Sparling reports.
One line on page 121 of Governor Dunleavy's veto of the state budget has provoked some confusion. Right after describing the 41% cut in funding to statewide services and the Anchorage and Fairbanks campuses, the item reads, "Funding for all of the community campuses, including University of Alaska Southeast, remains unchanged." "That's deceptive," says Jill Hansen, Assistant Director of Business Services and Special Projects at the Sitka campus of UAS.
"People don't realize how interconnected we are. You know, we each have our local campus, but the services and the administrative oversight and that kind of thing is still very interconnected. So we're all going to be impacted. It's not like the community campuses are going to ride."
The Sitka campus depends on statewide services for day-to-day operational needs and administrative support. The funding that supports those programs is on the chopping block alongside the UAA and UAF campuses. Online learning, also called distance learning, is one of the many statewide services that UAS relies on.
"Every campus uses the same learning management system that hosts all of our online classes. So that has been a statewide expense."
Depending on the semester, 70 to 80% of Sitka campus students are distance learners.
"If they're cut, then we're going to have to help pay for that. That could be a significant cost to us, whereas before we had a statewide mechanism that paid for it."
Jim Johnson, president of the University of Alaska, described what the veto means for the UA system in a video released shortly after the announcement.
"It's devastating, there's no question about it. We're going to have to take steps to start managing costs aggressively now."
The biggest immediate cuts will be in travel, hiring, and procurement. All staff got furlough letters from the University of Alaska on Friday. Most employees statewide will be obligated to take 10 days of leave without pay during fiscal year 2020. Alongside the furlough, the UAS Sitka campus will have to make tough decisions about what programs and resources to cut.
"Really, what's going to end up happening is that there's going to have to be a major restructuring. We're going to have to go through a process of making determinations of where those cuts are going to have to happen."
Hansen doesn't know yet where that money would come from. If the cuts do pass the legislature, the Board of Regents plans to declare financial exigency statewide. That will mean a, quote, rapid discontinuation of units and programs starting this summer and fall that will disrupt the education of current students and community services.
That puts us in a position where some programs, the students may not have the chance to finish their program and they'll have to transfer to a different situation.
Until the legislature decides whether or not to override the veto, the university is in a holding pattern, working to plan ahead where it can. For students, staff, and faculty, that means a lot of uncertainty. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Nina Sparling.
Dozens of men from around the state who want to end violence and build healthier communities converged in Juneau this past weekend. The organizers, two anti-domestic violence organizations, called it a men's gathering. There were panels and discussions about masculinity, colonization, trauma, relationships, and healing. They didn't practice trust falls or traverse a ropes course. They picked up fillet knives and processed four freshly killed harbor seals. KTUO's Jeremy Shea tagged along for the hunt.
It's early Sunday morning aboard an aluminum skiff in Lynn Canal. Johan Echohawk Atkinson of Metlakatla has his eyes trained on his cousin's husband, who hopped onto some kelpie, mussel-encrusted rocks with a .22 caliber rifle slung over his shoulder.
Lyle and his natural elements.
Lyle, as in Lyle James, a cultural educator and a leader of the indigenous dance group Wuxi'in in Juneau. He's Tlingit, Filipino, and Hawaiian, and is leading this seal hunt. Atkinson is from Metlakatla with Tsimshian and Pawnee roots. Hunting seal is new to him, and he's eager to learn and bring the know-how back to his community. In a lot of Alaska Native communities, he says a loss of culture and identity has caused problems, including domestic violence.
We also lost our values, you know, our way of living that has always kept us strong and healthy since time immemorial. So now, with us bringing back our language, with our culture, we're also bringing back our traditional values as us as men to be providers and protectors.
As Atkinson waits for the hunter to pick a shot, there's a question from a panel discussion the day before swirling in his head.
Honestly, that was probably the hardest question that the men answered.
Because it's not something men usually talk about.
You know, and I think that's part of the problem is, you know, our mindset was the way society is to not talk about love, you know, to not talk about your emotions, to not cry, you know, to not do anything pertaining that has any feeling. So when those three men were asked, what is love? I've never been asked that before, and I'm 38 years old, you know, so it was great, you know, hearing men twice my age being able to talk about love and become vulnerable in front of an audience of men from all over Alaska.
From the rocks, Lyle James points the boat toward a shallow cove. Atkinson grabs a gaff hook and pulls in the fourth and final harbor seal of the morning.
Awesome.
Woo-wee.
Lyle James hops back into the boat. Motoring back to Imelga Harbor, James explains the philosophy that he takes into hunting.
I never go out and assume that I'm going to get something. I'm just, if the seal is willing to give itself to us, then I definitely appreciate it.
They take the seals to a beach on the road system. The conference attendees arrive in a caravan. Soon, about a dozen men are wrist-deep in seal guts.
So we make sure that we always use everything. Every piece of the seal, every piece of the deer.
A lot of these guys have leadership roles in their communities, running support groups, coaching kids basketball, or working directly in social service jobs.
Man, what an awesome learning experience.
Yeah.
From the start to the finish.
Ethan Candyfire is Kiowa Apache, Cheyenne, and Arapaho, but lives on St. Paul Island in the Bering Sea. He used to work in law enforcement there.
It's so reactive, you know. It's a lot of the work that I did was completely after fact. It was way after the toxicities and all those things happened. So what I realized is, you know, it's our young people. You know, you kind of have to build them up. You know, you have to put good things. You have to teach them to ask themselves good questions.
Now, he teaches math and coding and coaches junior high basketball.
It's hard in small communities when people, like, know about some negativity in your life. They know your problems and your situations. But just teaching our youth, like, it's all right to make, you know, boneheaded mistakes, you know, that no matter what, don't feel like you have to stay home, you know, stay away from people. Like, come to these circles, come talk. You know, when you're uncomfortable, you need to just go ahead and walk in those.
The seal meat stacks up in 1 gallon Ziploc bags. The seal fat goes into a big pot to render. It all gets distributed to elders and conference attendees. The seal hunt and the men's gathering aren't silver bullets. There are many factors that lead to domestic violence and unhealthy relationships. It's complex. But Johan Echohawk Atkinson says confronting the issue with other men and creating a space where they can be vulnerable with each other is a huge step. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And that's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Adeline Baxter.